For a few minutes, I'd like to consider our sympathetic high priest in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. There, the English Standard Version reads, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." In the religious world today, Jesus is often presented as an abstract savior who loves us unconditionally. His sacrifice is a distant and equally abstract event that fixes all of our mistakes. This has led to a lot of prominent praise among the more zealous members of the various denominations in the world, but it does not fully appreciate the depth of the connection that we have with Christ. The Hebrew author argues here that Jesus has endured the very same things that we endure in this life. This gives us a connection as brothers. He argues that he has endured them perfectly, which qualifies him to act as a sympathetic high priest, and that he has used his position and his sacrifice to provide us with a way to the same resurrection by which he lives today. In other words, Christ became like us so that we can become like him. If we look a little bit more closely at verses 17 and 18, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." The Hebrew author starts verse 17 with two emphatic statements. First, that Christ had to be made like his brothers, that it was necessary for him to complete his mission, and that it could not have been achieved without this fact. And second, that it was necessary that he be made like his brothers in every respect. The assertion that Jesus was fully human has been opposed many times in the 2,000 years since his resurrection, and his deity has also been contested, but the Hebrew author clearly and succinctly summarizes the issue. He was exactly like us, because this was necessary for the completion of his mission. This means that he had to be tested to the deepest depths of despair in order to truly experience and empathize with the horror of sin and its consequences. The sympathy is most vividly depicted in Mark's account of the crucifixion, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. We read there, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" This particular phrase is the subject of much discussion and theory among commentators, but regardless of the precise implications of the verse, the simple fact remains that this expression, this exclamation, came as Jesus experienced an extreme distress while he was dying one of the most excruciating deaths that a man can die. He had been betrayed by one of his inner circle. Those who had loyally followed him fled as soon as any real danger manifested itself. He had been beaten and flogged to the point of death, and then he was hung on a cross to finish the job. Finally, in this moment, even if we don't know the exact spiritual mechanics of the moment, he felt a very real separation from God. At the moment of his death, Jesus was in the most miserable state that we can imagine, and truly understood what it was like when man was separated from God, when he was expelled from the Garden of Eden as a consequence of sin. The Hebrew author emphasized temptation in this passage, showing that Jesus himself was tempted. But it is important to understand that not only was he tempted, he suffered. He suffered as much physical and emotional stress that any man ever has. He does not help us out of an abstract altruism. He doesn't love us from afar, but through his own suffering, he has been everywhere we are and everywhere that we will be in our lives. He knows how we suffer, and he has shown us a way out of our suffering. Verses 14 and 15, Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15, clarify a little bit more the purpose of his mission. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. The goal of Jesus' mission was to deliver all of us who were subject to lifelong slavery through death. In the context of these verses, the Hebrew author is discussing the purpose for which mankind was created. A few verses earlier, in verses 6 through 8, we read, "It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him." The Hebrew author quotes from the 8th Psalm to show that mankind was created with the purpose of ruling over all things. But he notes that mankind does not presently rule over all things. Later in verse 15, which we've read, we see that men are slaves. We are subject to death, to slavery through death. And that is to say that there is at least one thing in creation that still holds ultimate sway over mankind. Since men are not masters of death, they are slaves to it. But that is with the exception of one. He goes on in Hebrews 2 and 9 to say, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." This is to say that Jesus became a man. He took on the position of a man in the universe, a little bit lower than the angels, and he took on the role divinely appointed to man to rule over all things in creation. Through his sacrifice and his resurrection, he has tasted death and defeated death on behalf of all men. He shows us a perfect type of man according to God's design. Paul expounds on this idea a little bit further in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 8, where he says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God." The ultimate goal of Christ's submission to human form was to perfectly fulfill the role that God had assigned to mankind at the time of his creation. In doing so, he showed us how to defeat death in his likeness and to live our lives to God in accordance with the scriptures. The Hebrew author restates this in a little bit more of a bold statement later in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." The Hebrew author shows here the great benefit of this pattern, and our brother moments ago spoke to us regarding this blessing of being able to approach God at any time through prayer. Because Jesus made himself like us, subject to our weaknesses and our temptations, so that he could make us like him, we are permitted to follow Christ through this pattern, through this glorification, all the way to the throne of God, and in doing so, heal the rift, the gulf, that was created at the time of man's sin in the Garden of Eden, and restore that communion with God. We are still separated from God to a degree. We have been restored in the resurrection of Christ through baptism, but there remains a resurrection for us in the end after our deaths, which will fully restore that fellowship that mankind was created to have with God. But until that time, until we pass on from this life, and we are raised again in a body in the likeness of Christ, We have the boldness and the confidence to approach God at any time regarding any need directly. The Hebrew author says we have the opportunities to go before or near to the throne of grace through Christ, our sympathetic high priest.